Hello and welcome to another episode of the Just Talking About Films podcast. It is extremely warm today and we might mention that a few times. My name is Ian Sargentson.
And my name is Luke Tilly. Yes, we are recording this on the 18th of July, which is apparently the day before the hottest day ever, but it's feeling like the hottest day ever right now.
Yeah, there's been a big build-up to this, hasn't it? And I was just hoping that it wasn't an anticlimax, because sometimes, you know, every year they predict they're going to be under 20 feet of snow every summer, and it never quite materializes. So when they're saying, oh, it's going to be this hot, break all records, I was a bit like, is it? And yeah, here we are. I'm sat in short near Chorley in the northwest, and it's 33 degrees. I've just been out in it. I've come back and I've changed my whole outfit because I was just soaked.
Yes, I haven't. I was out earlier this morning, which wasn't so bad because I hadn't warmed up quite so much then. And I got back in, but now all the blinds and the curtains are shut and it's dark. And I stepped into the conservatory to get my computer and thought, oh, dear me.
Yeah, conservatories are the worst. In the winter for the cold and the summer for the heat, it's just unbelievable.
But a big shout out to Showcase Cinemas, who today have put us and tomorrow have put a special presentation on, where if you're ginger, you can get in for free.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pleased that they're doing that, because obviously there's about people with red hair have got fairer skin and burn easier. But yeah, it's like, I don't know what about us chubby lads that just sweat a lot.
Oh dear. My brother's ginger, and I think he was planning on spending the day in the cinema today.
Well, I say I thought it was a good idea because of the air conditioning anyway, but when I've got a, you know, 11-month-old son, I mean, I can't imagine he'd find it much fun unless we were watching children's films, which yeah. But yeah. So I'm just sat in the house sweating instead, working. But yeah, it is warm. You'll know when, by the time this goes out, it'll be past that, and I'm sure it'll be pouring down with rain again.
Remember when it was nice and warm?
Yeah, you'll be able to remember. You'll be like, oh, that was the day that they were doing this, sat in their houses, recording this for the benefit of us, the people. So here we are in the heat, just talking about films. We're going to start off today with what we've been watching, and then we'll go into a couple of gut reaction questions, which we may expand on further, and then we'll see what happens from there.
Excellent.
All right, Luke?
Yeah, so do you want to start? What's the first film you saw this week?
Well, what I've watched since the last time we met was for Film Club. There was two films we had to watch for Film Club, so we'll both have thoughts on this. The first was Ratatouille, which I believe was your choice, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
So Ratatouille, I mean, it's one of them things that, yeah, we talked about, I like it as a film. Yeah, I think animated films have to work really hard to impress me. There's something in me that can't just seem to be able to enjoy them for what they are. I overthink it a lot. So as much as I liked it, I didn't love it overly, because it was like, I didn't get that some little rat is pulling on some man's hair and that's causing him to do different things. You know what I mean? It mixes animals with people, and there's still, for me, laws of reality that need to be obeyed. But there was lots of positive messages in it. There was lots of fun, smiley bits. The story, it wasn't bad, but as I say, yeah, I overthink it. So I liked it enough, not as much as you did, but yeah, it was a decent film.
Yeah, I liked Ratatouille a lot. I think it's for me, it captures something about the joy of cooking, the joy of food, the joy of just tasting food. I mean, well, you know, this rat has just this because he's got a great food palette, and the idea of, and you know, picking out the different flavors and mix, it just makes me want to cook, and I'm not a very good cook. And just the magic of Paris and all of that. I just think it's a really enjoyable film to watch. And I love the food critic as the bad guy in that.
Yeah.
It's very
good. As I say, I do overthink it, because there's a lot going on, isn't there? There's a rat that learns to discern food well.
Yeah.
Then he has this famous chef as a figment of his imagination.
Yep.
Speaking to him and guiding him. He goes to this restaurant. finds this guy who can't cook, but he pulls on different hairs that make different arms. I've tried it when I was watching it, and it doesn't work. Anyway, so it was just too much for me. If it was whispering in his ear, possibly could have. Yeah, all right, I get it. This rat can talk because that's the thing. But it was just so much. Listen, I know I overthink it. I know it's something within me that can't just let go. Like, for instance, with Toy Story, there's this world where the toys come alive when the humans aren't in the room, right? I get that. That's the boundaries, the parameters have been set. I can work within that. The parameters were all over the place in Ratatouille. So me not being able to engage with my awe and wonder of being a child was just like, yeah, I'm not having this. But there was lots to like about it.
That's fair. That's fair. First film I saw this week, or since we last met, it was actually last week, was we went to see the new Minions film.
All right, here we go.
Talk right about up your screen. With reality. you know what? I like the first Minions film. I think it's a lot of fun. It's not as good. I don't think the plot is really that much to talk about. But I consistently giggled all the way through it. And it's kind of all you want, really, isn't it, from a Minions film?
Yeah.
What was strange was, and we didn't realise what this was until afterwards, but when the title screen came on and said Minions, a whole bunch of the people at the cinema got up and applauded. And then at the end, there was a standing ovation amongst a whole bunch of people, which is very odd. But it turns out there's some sort of TikTok viral thing going around where people are dressing up in suits and going to Minion screenings and doing that. I don't know. I don't understand it. Don't know why. But I just thought people were really into the film.
Yeah, I mean, but even then, what a
trend. I don't know if you're doing it ironically or...
I don't know. It's like, what a trend. Sit through a film in your suit to see you can do that for TikTok. Like, anyway, I don't get plenty of modern culture. I dabble with TikTok every now and then, but only because the world needs to hear my opinion in another platform.
But it was good fun. If you enjoy the Minions saying stupid things, you'll have fun.
But what were the Minions from originally?
Despicable Me.
Despicable Me. So I like Despicable Me, and I think the first one, I like that. And I think every subsequent film, as is often the case, has just got progressively, not worse, that's not fair, but you've seen it before.
Yeah.
So that's me. So I don't watch what you'll get that. I say they have to work really hard to impress me. Some has to stick. So I think I watched the second Despicable Me, and then I haven't seen the first Minions film.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I mean, the first Minions film is about them looking for a boss, and then at the end of it, they meet Gru from Despicable Me. And this film kind of serves as a prequel, I guess, to Despicable Me, with him as a child with his minions, and he gets kidnapped and they've got to go rescue him, and it's that simple. There's not much in the plot, but it's very silly, and you know, it's a lot of fun,
right?
But you've got to be in the mood for it, or ironically wearing a suit and applaud, whichever.
Yeah, you didn't do that, did you?
No. We were just confused by what was going on.
good. So that was Ratatouille and the Minions 2, is it? Well, the second Minions film?
Yeah, well, I think it's just the Minions Rise of Gru, it's called.
So they're the two films that we've gotten so far. Then the second film I have got to bring today is West Side Story, the Steven Spielberg reimagining, if you like. And that caused quite a bit of controversy in my views on this. On
is this Facebook. The first time you'd seen it?
It was the first time I'd seen it. Hmm. Never seen the original, I don't believe. Knew the story, obviously, because it was just a total rip-off of Romeo and Juliet. but knew the adapted story for been set in West Side Story. So, but on Facebook I'd said, and I stand by it, that I think it could have been a really, really amazing film if they took the songs out and just... put more dialogue in, more gritty dialogue, because the acting was there, the cast was great, it looked really authentic, there was a darkness about it, there was a real sense of palpable tension, and then it was just ruined by a lot of singing. I mean, I know that that's the point because it's a musical. But I think the musical, I'm sure, is good, and maybe the original. But this, it just got in the way for me. The music and the songs, it just kind of took me out of the place I was in between them. So I was really invested between them. And when they started singing, I was like, oh, I'm not for this. Even though I knew a few of them, and some of it was because I just think they were out of place. And some of it is that the songs I don't think are strong enough. Like in Les Mis, I had a similar kind of feeling when you've got Wolverine and Maximus dancing around and they start singing. But the songs in Les Mis are so strong and so anthemic and fit in with the story of rebellion and revolution. Whereas these, they didn't for me. It was just they were just out of place. It was like weird. So I loved the story, loved how it looked, loved everything about it, but could have done without the singing. I do acknowledge, though, that without the singing, then you don't get the dancing, and there were some incredible dance numbers in there. So
there was some very good dance numbers. Some of the choreography in it was very, yeah, very
unbelievable.
Good. But I agree, I didn't like the singing. Oh, I mean, you know what you're going to get when you're watching a musical. But I was watching it thinking, if you're going to redo a musical, why wouldn't you redo the music as well, you know? Make it something that actually sounds, because it sounds so old fashioned, doesn't it now? Which I know is the point with, and I know that's why people like it, but I don't like that.
And on Facebook, I took a hammering like, oh, but that's the point. It's a musical, a little bit, but it doesn't have to be. Do you know what I mean? Like Billy Elliot, I like the musical, but I like the film more.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And I know that it was the other way around. I think the film was made before the musical. But it's like if you watch Gangs of New York, and then you start sticking songs in.
Is there a musical of that?
No, but if you start sticking songs in, it would be like that because the feel of it was similar to the feel of West Side Story for me. But just because, it's been a musical, doesn't mean it has to be. There's a non-musical version of Les Mis. So I think it would have been, for me, if you just tried it, I think it could have been a real epic film. So if you're watching Stephen, that's what I would have done. But well done with Jaws.
Oh, dear. The next film I watched was on, I think it was on Disney Plus. It was called The Princess. And it was, the what if for this film is, what if a princess is captured and taken up to the top tower to marry someone she doesn't want to marry, you know, that kind of traditional fairy tale. But what if she was kind of like John Wick and just slaughters everybody on the way down? And it was kind of fun. It wasn't, you know, it didn't stretch the brain at all. But it was a nice idea to take this idea of a Disney princess and making her a little bit more like John Wick.
Mm, was it animated or no?
No, it's live action. Very violent. The fight choreography isn't as good as it would be in a film like John Wick. I don't think it was quite on that level. It was kind of like The Raid, but instead of going up the building, she's coming down the building.
Who was in it?
What's she called? Hold on. Joey King plays the princess. I don't really know much that she's been in. Oh, of course. She was in The Dark Knight Rises, you know, as the sort of the young version of the person who escapes from the pit.
All right, yeah.
She was in that and a fair few other, like, you know, but like, really young. But it was a lot of fun. It was silly, but it was. I love the idea. It was the idea that sold me on watching it. And, you know, what if we did The Raid, but with a princess?
Yeah.
It was. It's worth a look. It's not for. I wouldn't say it was good, but it's worth a look. I only gave it 2.5 stars, but I was entertained for the time it was on.
No, The Princess. There you go.
I think it gets an extra point, maybe just for the idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of flipping the genre on its head, isn't it?
Yeah. So, what else have you been watching?
So the next film I watched was King Richard. So I'd waited a while to watch this. I just hadn't got round to it. And then just took an hour and then it came onto Sky. So I thought I'd give it a go. And I absolutely loved it. I think,
is it good?
I thought I would like it because I really like stories that are based on true stories, biopics, if you like. And I, especially if they're inspiring. And this was, do you know what I mean, from And it wasn't just like, oh, let's focus on this and make it the nicest story we can and airbrush things out. It was a complex character, but his journey and his family's journey to achieving a goal and thing they set out and the challenges that they faced because of where they were, because of his past, because of the color of their skin to some degree. Mm. And then obviously the rise of Venus and Serena within that. And it was entertaining. It was superbly acted. It was really inspirational. There was a great cast. And absolutely, I think, despite all that's gone on since then, I can 100% see why he won Best Actor for it. It was an incredible display. And that's without even fully knowing the character, apart from a few bits I've seen on TV, he's portraying. It was just a great performance, not just by him, throughout, I think there's so many good performances, but it's mainly Will Smith that's in every scene, more or less, because it's about him. But yeah, I really liked it, and really give me a, even though I do like sport anyway, and I have an appreciation, which give me a greater appreciation of what him and the girls went through to achieve all that they did in a sport that is more for posh kids, you know, because of the equipment and the things that you need and the way to do it. And they combated all of that because of a plan that this guy had. And he was so fixated on the plan, and he called it years before it had happened, and it came to fruition. So it seems like the majority of it's based on actual truth. And I think Serena and Venus were executive producers, and I think they had to sign off on it. But yeah, I really thought it was really good.
No, okay. It's one of those films where, because I saw it appeared on Sky and was like, is it going to be worth the go? But I might give it a try now then.
Yeah, I mean, I love sports films anyway. I didn't think initially, and I think this is probably why I didn't watch it initially, because my perception of him was quite negative, that he was a pushy parent, that he was living vicariously through them. And it changed my perception of that, because it's easy to see how I saw that. But he ultimately wanted the best for them, and created a way, and he sacrificed so much and he gave so much to help them. And it wasn't just about that. It was about their education, setting standards, about just helping them get out of the environment that they were in. So it, do you know what I mean? As I say, he's a complex man. He's not all this, you know, model citizen. And it alludes to stuff in his past as well, in some conversations. But it was a real authenticity to it. It was genuine and, you know, complex. So I just really enjoyed it.
Okay.
And I thought, he was outstanding. Well, much better than his performance at the Oscars, anyway.
I'll have to give that a try. It's I think you sold me on that one.
Oh, I loved it, yeah.
Good. Next one I saw was filling in one of those blank spots in my movie history that I've never seen, is I'd never seen Dirty Harry before.
Oh, Luke.
I know. I don't know why. It's just, you know, you miss some things. But I think maybe I've watched it 20 years too late. It's a hard film to judge today, I think. It feels very dated in a lot of ways.
I think some ways. I think the opening scenes, I absolutely love them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's some bits where you go, that hasn't dated well.
Yeah. And it's been parodied somewhat. Well, not parodied, but like, it's become like the model for that kind of rogue cop, I guess, over the years. That what must have seemed innovative at the time doesn't seem that now. It kind of seems a little tame, you know, his attitude towards authority and all of that. And
yeah,
what was interesting is he says, you know, that do you feel lucky punk bit twice in the film. I never realized that. So the first time I was like, how has that become so iconic? It didn't work at all. And then the second time it really does. But I like how it queued you up for that by, you know, the different ways that it came about. All I really knew about it is that it was, you know, the Zodiac Killer was still around at the time, and the base Scorpio a little bit on him, but like I guess they didn't know much about the Zodiac Killer, so it's very, very, very vague and that he writes letters, essentially. I did find the killer. I don't think I was supposed to find him comical.
No, he was. It's one of the things, I think, in a review I did, that is weird and a bit unhinged, and he crosses over that to farcical for me.
Yeah, especially when he's just shot him at the end and he's like trying to get away. Yeah. It just seemed funny.
No, it was comedic, but then, yeah, it wasn't sinister enough for me. It was just like, who's this guy?
Yeah. I didn't realise there were so many Dirty Harry films.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
I don't think I'll go back to do all of them, but I enjoyed it. But I did the whole time I was watching, thinking, wish I'd seen this 20 years ago. I might have appreciated it more.
Is this the one that starts on the rooftop?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that opening scene.
It's with very good.
And this and the other. And it really set me up. And there was bits where, again, like you, I was, because I didn't watch it that long ago, probably for my first time or first time paying attention anyway. And it, for how esteemed it is, it wasn't as good as I thought it would be. Yeah. There was aspects of it that I thought were just phenomenal. I thought his character was great, his performance, and I say a couple of scenes. There was the villain just didn't convince me at all.
No, me either. And I was expecting the villain to be great, yeah, because of the potential of him being like the Zodiac Killer, you know. And yeah, it just didn't really work for me.
No, Dirty Harry. And then the last film I watched recently was Bloodfather, and it was like, I don't know if you have these. Well, you're going through Netflix and you think, well, that sounds all right. And it plays the trailer when it really plays half the film.
Yeah.
And you go, add to list. And I added to my list. It's been in my list for a while. And I was like, right, let's have a look, see if anybody knows anything about this. Because there's nothing worse than sitting through a film that you've done that and it's just garbage.
Mm.
You know, so I thought, I'll have a look. And I looked on everybody's favorite thing, IMDb. And it's just getting worse for people that are, I guess, putting paid reviews on there or whatever. Yeah. So some of the reviews, oh, it's the best revenge thing and this and that. I seem to write it so much when I do my reviews, it was all right. Could have been great. Could have been, the idea was kind of good. Mel Gibson's in it. He plays a half-decent performance, but again, there's just so much stuff that you're just totally unbelievable. The bad guys are just cliched and one-dimensional. There's an element of betrayal which you spot coming a mile off. The daughter, which is played by Moriarty. Is it Elaine Moriarty?
Right.
Elizabeth Moriarty. Oh, what's she called? Her character was just weird. I don't know. So it was just a bit messy for me, but people were raving about it.
Right.
Erin Moriarty.
Right,
so,
okay.
She was in Captain Fantastic and a few other things. But, yeah, it was just a bit messy. It was one of them things that, you know, when the straight to Netflix or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'd not heard of it before, and I thought, it's 2016, I think it was, so it's 6 years old. But basically the premise is that this girl, she'd gone missing years earlier. Some of it I'm still trying to work out. So she'd gone missing, ran away from her parents, got involved with a drug dealer, is with him, he's using her, but she doesn't know it. She thinks he's really in love with her anyway. She shoots him by accident, then his whole gang is after us, and she calls her dad, who she ran away from however many years ago, still looking for her, but is an ex-biker, Hell's Angel, if you like. But he's now clean. So then obviously he's got the conflict of his daughter's in trouble, but he's now got his life on track. What's going to happen? But yeah, it just fell down in so many places for me. But I gave it 2.5. It's not the worst film I've ever watched, but would I recommend someone to use 2 hours of their life watching it? Not unless you want something that's fairly easy to watch and doesn't require a lot of attention, that's average.
Fair. Which sometimes is what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, the last one for me was Thor, Love and Thunder.
Okay.
Which I still don't know if I liked it or not. It's definitely, I mean, you know, with Thor Ragnarok, it had this sort of comical edge to it, whilst there was still a lot of serious stuff happening. This ramps up the comical edge to the point of almost absurd, I think.
No.
Just to the point where you think, I don't know if I can take any of this seriously again now. Don't get me wrong, I thought it was funny, but I don't think I took it seriously at all. And I think it might have... It didn't fit with a lot of the established stuff that they'd already pre-decided. For example, in the first Thor, the idea is they're not really gods. They were just worshipped as gods by people who didn't understand who they were.
Yeah.
But now, with the appears to be these gods, and they are one of them, they can only be killed by this sword. It's like, how can they only be killed by this sword? One of them died in the last film. You're just kind of like, I don't understand what this is anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem of having different directors, isn't it?
Yeah.
That they want to put a different spin on things, so much so that often they change or don't even acknowledge what's gone before and don't play within them boundaries and think people are going to not notice.
Yeah, and, you know, they had Russell Crowe playing Zeus, and his Greek accent is very funny, but it doesn't make any sense that he exists as well. Do you know, I just couldn't get my head around what was happening in a lot of it. Christian Bale is really, really good in it. He plays the bad guy, the God Butcher, and his role and his central conflict that he's going through, it's like it's from a different film, you know, is really good. Having Natalie Portman in as a sort of Thor as well is kind of fun, and it makes sense within context of it. But there's so much silliness going on around it. It just takes you completely out of it, I think. So I don't know how I feel about it. I think I'd like to watch it again to decide. But I came out just genuinely, I don't know if I enjoyed that or not.
Yeah. It was directed by, what's his name?
It was Taika Waititi.
Yeah, which you're always going to get a humorous element because that's what he does, and I get it. But I had questions enough about it because one of my criticisms of a lot of Marvel films is for widespread appeal, they're a bit vanilla. They're not, you know, violent enough or realistic violent enough. They're not... they're just too much for laughs. And, you know, with Tony Stark, you can't get away with it because it's a character thing. With Thor, it wasn't so much, although there was always an edge, but then it just seems to have come right through to we just churn out these things. But as I say, with the director that you've got, I mean, I don't know what you'd expect.
Yeah, and, you know, it's got this sort of 80s cheesy quality to it that is kind of enjoyable. It's a little bit, you know, there's points where it reminds you of Flash Gordon, points where it reminds you, do you remember Golden Axe?
Yeah.
It reminds me a bit of that, you know, that kind of aesthetic and all of that, which is fun, but I don't know if that makes a film. You know, so I still can't work out whether I enjoyed it or not. It certainly is. It's not as good as Ragnarok. Ragnarok was far better.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, that's probably the only Thor film I've enjoyed, the standalone Thor film.
Same.
I like the character in other films, but when it's all about him, because how much is Loki in it?
He's not in it at all.
All right. Because I got irritated with the focus on him all the time.
No, there's no Loki in it. It repeats a lot of similar jokes from Ragnarok to less effect. And then it's got some jokes which don't work, but it keeps doing them.
Right.
And then there's some stuff that works well. I feel mixed about it. It's, you know, I'm glad I saw it. But, yeah, I feel quite mixed on it.
Because it was set up to be this big blockbuster, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I don't think it's done as well as they'd hoped, this one.
Well, they've certainly pushed it hard, but I've not heard anything about it, which is usually a bad sign.
Yeah, yeah. But worth watching for Christian Bale. He's very good. And that's right, my list.
So, yeah, that's what we've been watching. Have you seen any of those films? Let us know. Get in touch. So wherever you watch this, if you click the link, I mean, if you listen to it on from the podcast places, it's different. But we are available on Twitter and Facebook. So if you do click on those links to watch it, then let us know what you think, what you've been watching. And if not, then as soon as you've listened to the podcast, get on our Facebook, get on our Twitter, and let us know what you've been watching. We do monitor it, so we will be able to reply to you.
Yes. Yeah, it's great to hear from everybody and to engage with you and talk about films with you.
Unless you're just going to moan at me about how West Side Story is a musical. I don't want to know. it doesn't have to be. If you take the music out, it's no longer a musical. So, get in touch. Let us know what you've been watching. I'll let you know what you think about what we think about what we've been watching.
Yes, yes.
Let us know what you think.
I'd like to find out what people thought of Thor, whether people felt strongly either way about it, because I came firmly down in the middle on that one.
Yeah, so if you're seeing Thor, get in touch, let Luke know what you think. I won't watch it until it comes on Disney or whatever. It has to be a really special Marvel film for me to consider paying for a go see.
Yes, and also, if you've got a film that we've not mentioned ever, and maybe we haven't seen, that you think we'd enjoy, let us know that as well.
Yeah, what film do we need to see?
Yeah, yeah.
We need to see, which you've never heard us mention.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Or if we have seen it, why haven't we mentioned it?
Yes, that'd be good. Right, so what do we have next?
We have a couple of gut reaction questions. Okay. One which was passed to me in a format that I couldn't ignore, so I did my gut reaction at the time, but it's probably still the same. And the other one that I haven't yet looked at.
Okay. What was the format you couldn't ignore?
Someone passed it me on a piece of paper.
Okay.
So I read it, and then they said, this is for your gut reactions. I was like, oh. So I can't reimagine that. So I said, Matt, this is what I think. And I will make sure that when we record, I will say that is what I think. I'll ask you first for your gut reaction and tell you what mine was. So the question was, can you tell us one iconic image from film that you really enjoy? And then it says, open brackets, still image, close brackets.
Still image. Wow. I guess the one that came to me, which, you know, it's gut reaction, is one iconic still image is of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man walking down the streets of New York. You know, that big, where there's got that big shot and he's big and they've got it's obviously a model all the way around. And it's just that shot there.
Yeah, correct.
I don't know why that came to me, but that's the one.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking for me, it came, I think I've got a picture of it, was that one.
Yes.
Rocky at the top of the steps in Philadelphia. That was the first thing that came to mind. And I think even after Days of Thought, it would probably still be
the iconic
one. There's a few of those films, obviously, but that's the one which, you know, every time I watch it, it strikes me, the image, and I see the poster most days. So yeah, it's that scene where he gets to the top and he jumps around and the montage finishes.
It's a good sequence. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my still image. I mean, there's plenty of others.
I'm sure there's.
And a lot of them that I was thinking of afterwards are, you know, incorporated into the film posters. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite often the case, isn't it?
Yeah, like Stand By Me. There's a silhouette where the boys are walking, and then the Goonies where they're all hanging on the thing. So. Right. Let's have a look at this next one. You ready?
I'm ready.
What is your favourite film, Friendship?
Friendship? Dear me. Well, it's not Woody and Buzz.
Oh, so we're playing now what's not your favourite. So the first thing that came to my mind, and it's, I know that this won't be the case after I've thought about it, was Marty and Doc.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Because I like their friendship. It spans generations. It seems genuine. They have an affection for one another. Yeah, so I like that. But I don't think it'll be the one that I would stick with once I've got it. But that was my gut reaction, so I have to be true to that. So, yeah, that's what I'm going with, Marty and Doc.
That's a good one. Mine's a bit more obscure, I guess, but it's what came to mind is, I can't even remember the name of the characters, but it's the Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling in The Nice Guys.
Mm-hmm.
As they start off not as friends, but it builds as the film goes, and the banter between the two of them. You know, when you get to the end of the film and you're sad it's over, because you're like, I want to see where this goes next. I want to see, you know, the banter develop, and yeah, that's the one that came to mind anyway. I enjoy the zippy dialogue between them and all of that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of more, like the Sam and Frodo. That's a good friendship.
Yeah, man.
You don't like them?
No.
They're horrible friends.
Horrible, yeah. I've never been able to get away with Sam and Frodo. There's just something about them. I don't know what it is. I don't trust them.
Gee, me, there's something about them. yeah, I'll have to give it more thought. And I do like the gut reactions, because I do think about the questions.
Yeah,
sometimes I think, oh, I wish I'd said this.
Yeah, sometimes what comes later is better, isn't it?
Yeah, this is like Forrest and Bubba. I like that friendship. Yeah, so
Forrest and Bubba.
There's got to be better ones, so.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Again, I can't remember the character name, but the Shawshank Redemption, Tim Robbins.
Yeah, there's Red and the other fellas called, can't remember. Yeah. Tim Robbins. Yeah, so let us know what you think. What's an iconic image from film that you like that really strikes a chord with you, that is your favourite iconic image from film? So when I ask you to think of that as a film still, what is it that comes to mind? And what is your favourite friendship in film? What film do you watch? What inspires you to be like, oh, well, I wish I had a friendship like that. So,
yes.
But not like The Hobbits, because Luke doesn't get out, can't get away with it.
I can't get away with those two. There's something about Frodo that I don't like him.
You don't like Frodo, you don't like Elijah Wood.
No, Frodo.
Okay.
I'm suspicious of him.
He speaks ever so highly of you. Right, so that's all we've got for you for this week. That's what we've been watching. That's what our gut reactions are. So get in touch, let us know. And then, say, in future episodes, we are still working on getting some guests in so you can listen to other people's opinions on stuff rather than just ours. And if you think, oh, I'd love to hear other people's opinions rather than just theirs, then let us know and we'll get you on to talk about the films that you like, the films that you've been watching, and what your gut reactions are to some of the questions that we get sent in.
Because we would love to know your opinions.
We would. We want you to just talk about films.
Yes. Brilliant. We've had a good time today, and we'll be back again soon.
Thanks very much. Take care. Stay cool.